association of Sadhu Sangha, what is the thing you should look for? Answer you a little if you have thought about this. Serve devotees.
To hear.
To hear devotees, yes.
Inquire
from devotees.
Take the remnants from the meal.
Yes. Take the remnants from the meal.
Reveal your mind.
Reveal your mind. Yes. Ask confidential questions. Be humble, yes.
Chant together in
Kirtan. Yes. In the association of with devotees, these things become very easy and very, very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. Especially it is described that when we hear in the association of devotees about Krishna, it's very pleasant to the heart. Like, you know, I think we all have this experience with our Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj when he talks about Krishna. Do you notice how pleasing it is for the heart? It goes in like cherry juice. Very pleasant juice. When you hear, do this, you will become gradually advanced on the path of liberation and therefore be freed from material life. So this hearing amongst devotees is something which is very, very important in Krishna consciousness. In the association of devotees, this hearing becomes very pleasing and very, very nice. Now, what type of devotees should you look for? This is a very interesting point. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, Svajati Ashaya. Svajati means something like family, Sva own family. You should look for devotees who have a similar mood as you have. Even in the initial stages, for instance, preachers can very nicely associate with preachers. They immediately see a preacher from 2 kilometers of a distance. But there are also other things. Svajati does not just mean service, it means also the mood. Maybe you like very much to hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then you will go to those devotees who really like to also discuss about him. Or you like very much to hear Krishna Leela, then you will, you know, the idea is clear. The mood, because when you meet with devotees who have a total different mindset, you can marvel at how they see the world. Ooh, amazing, I could never see it like this. But for revealing the heart, and sharing, you need really devotees who are of the same mood, even in the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness. It's very important, very interesting that this is discussed. In the Hari Bhakti Suladaya, there's an interesting verse which I would like to bring to your attention regarding this point associating with devotees. To look it up a little bit. As the qualities of a nearby object are reflected in a crystal, one similarly takes on the qualities of a person with whom he associates. Therefore, in order to increase one's devotional sentiment in his own life, a wise person should take shelter of those who have the same temperament. He also did say it. So Yutani, it says in Sanskrit. In Germany you say, sage mir, mit wem du umgehst, und ich sage dir, wer du bist. For those of you who do not know this impossible language, tell me, who are your associates, and I will tell you who you are. This statement, because our heart is like the crystal which reflects everything you put before it. similarly, Prabhupada says, if we associate with the flower-like devotees of the Lord, how nice, flower-like, you are flowers, Prabhupada once said, of your country. So if we associate with the flower-like devotees of the Lord, and if our hearts are crystal clear, that's important, it must be crystal clear, otherwise the effect doesn't come, then certainly the same action will be there. You could call it the crystal action. Therefore, many Vaishnavas have told this as a recommendation. Go to the advanced devotees, try to serve them, try to listen to them, try to follow in their footsteps, their example. And you will see how the same qualities come into your heart, the qualities which you see in others. Very nice advice. And so, once a person was asking how to become a good devotee, and Prabhupada was answering, how do you become a drunkard? Then he was asking, the Prabhupada said, you have to associate with the drunkards. Then you become a drunkard. So in a similar way, associate with devotees. So this was a very nice way. Associate with great souls also through reading their books. When you read Bhagavatam, you should know, now I'm associating with Shukadeva Goswami, who sits before Parikshit Maharaj and gives him all types of instructions and so on. If you read the Prabhupada Lilamrita, you are associating in your heart. See, this form of associating with devotees is not restricted only to devotees being in one's physical presence. Don't we often have the experience that we sit next to each other or live next to each other and we don't really associate with each other? We have nothing to do, nothing in common. Association is something which has to, is something which is internally there, which has to do with the opening of the heart. So you can associate over space and time with a great source by listening to their instructions. Srila Prabhupada said that he applied this in his life and he never ever felt separated from his spiritual master. And he said, my spiritual master is always guiding me. Next point of these 5 points, which are extremely important for we are discussing activities which are favorable for devotional service. Nam Sankirtan. Sometimes it's also just called Nam Kirtan, and that refers to japa, to chanting the japa, but sometimes it's also said Nam Sankirtan, that refers to chanting the holy name in the association of many devotees. Now, it is described by Lord Krishna that he, in the Padma Purana, that he is not different from his holy name. I don't want to say this, elaborate on it, because we have heard it so many times. And the conclusion is drawn in the Adi Purana, anyone who is engaged in chanting the holy name, anyone who is engaged in chanting the holy name must be considered to be always associating with me, with Krishna. You can have association with Krishna by chanting. And I may tell you frankly that for such a devotee, I become easily purchased. So in the beginning of our chanting, we chant out of regulation. We have our preferred number, it's regulation. If you are good in this part, like chanting your 16 rounds without fear, the result of chanting will come, you will chant spontaneously. When Srila Prabhupada was brought into the hospital in New York, this became a problem for his doctor. Because even when they had put him in the anesthesia, he continued to chant. And they hold the devil. When is this old man going to start to murmur? This is desires, Prabhu and Madhavis. We should, the chanting should flow naturally from our mouth. We should sing the holy name. We should hear. We should chant Krishna, Hare Krishna. Fill our lungs with the holy name as best as we can, 24 hours a day, that's ideal. Because remember, by chanting you associate with Krishna. Therefore, a great devotee has said, I do not know, Rupa Goswami, I do not know how much nectar the name Krishna has produced. When I chant that, these are millions of ears and millions of tongues. This is when you become very, when you are very, sometimes you might have it, but you have a good feast, have you seen this, which tastes really good, and you are hungry, then you desire two mouths and four hands. No. Maybe you're not thinking so creatively doing, taking prasada and you might have. I am sometimes in this situation and it's so good. You just, you know, want to get more into it. Double intensity, so to say. Now, in chanting the holy name, there is a great blessing, but also something we must be very aware of. There is something which we can call indifference. I want to say this in German for my German-speaking audience, because they might not have a translation at hand for this Gleichgültigkeit. Indifference means, oh, you are chanting, but you're not giving it the full attention which it should have. This means that you are not really aware of this, what is going on in your life. I have this thing this morning, therefore I feel I can speak about it in a personal way so that I will not hurt any one of you. Unfortunately, we had to discuss something with the devotee during the japa period, and I was lagging behind with my round, so I went during the Jagannatha Madhava of the class out in order to just complete a few more rounds, and I sat down on a shaukel, or a swing, and it was 26 years back where I was. Five important processes of the or if you better get off the swing immediately, or at least bring it to some peaceful dimension, you know. And I was just thinking, this is actually what is a good analogy for my own experience in my chanting. Prabhupada says, for persons who are not inclined to clean the dust from their heart, in other words, if we want to keep things as they are, it is not possible to derive the transcendental result of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. One should therefore be encouraged to develop his service attitude towards. This is a slightly different point in the end. So, if you don't, if you should approach the name with some intent, some attention, that I want to do something, I want to come close to you, I want to glorify you, my dear Lord. But if you keep want to just keep things as they are, like swing, or you know, keep going on with your up and down life, your swing like life, you won't derive the full you won't have the full concentration. So you want to chant the Hare Krishna mantra without indifference, ohne Gleichgültigkeit, with full attention, in other words, you will have to change, you will have to have a mission in your life, to change your life. You will have to have this mission to change your life. Now, chanting can never be seen isolated from the rest of our lives. We want to change our life, we should get serious about our devotional service, but should therefore be encouraged to develop his service attitude towards the Lord, because this will help to chant the holy name without offense. If you always see yourself as a servant of the Lord who wants to serve him, and if you always see yourself as I want to improve my life, oh, then you will chant with full attention. Bhagavat Shrava, that's the next point. Listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse in the Vedic scriptures, it says that anyone who listens to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna will enter his heart through the channel of hearing. I will go a little faster. Mathura Vasa. That means holy places. To live in a holy place like Mathura. What are your thoughts on this? Yes?
Probably impossible for all the devotees of Krishna to live in a holy place.
Probably impossible. Vraja Bhakti Vilas.
But I think Prabhupada said that wherever you stay, if you follow the regular principles and if you are in sadhana, that is the now.
Hearing Vraja Bhakti Vilas Prabhu remembers, if you follow, Prabhupada said, if you follow the regulative principles and
sadhana,
then you are in Vrindavan. Do you have this experience, Bhakti Vilas?
I'm not in good sadhana. We can mentally live.
We can mentally live in Vrindavan. How do we do this?
Be on the place where devotees are glorifying Krishna.
We should be on a place where devotees glorifying Krishna. Yeah. I have had to struggle with this in my life, because if it would be up to me, I would pack my suitcase and go to Vrindavan and never return. I am very attracted. Even as a child, I always wanted to live at that time I didn't know, but at holy places and temples and so on. The West sometimes gets on one's nerves. Do you have this experience also?
Yes.
Yes, our Raj Bhakti Vilas will be able to tell us, because he is the first time in the West, right?
I saw in Madrid downtown, the temple is there, next to the temple, the whole West, within that circle we can see
the whole Western world is there, next to the temple. The Prabhupada says, if we are unable to reside in Vrindavan physically, we should reside there in our minds. Now what this means is, you had said this, when we hear about Vrindavan, we can remember how Krishna played in the Yamuna with cows in the Govardhan. We can remember the cows on the Govardhan hill, how he herded them. And we can remember the sweet exchanges between Nanda Krishna and Yashoda. In this way we associate with the Dharma. Many young devotees who have been in the Dharma have been disappointed really from their visits, because they did not remember Krishna in the dham, but German bread and butter, which was not available. They're disappointed in some ways. It's a question of the mind, really. So if you want to have the Vrindavan effect, you should somehow remember Krishna in some ways. I think we always have heard this, you know, had this experience when we hear a very nice Krishna Leela and we think of him, then the atmosphere changes in our heart. Then the next is Murtaya Seva. There's a serving the deities. This was Dharma. This was Mathura Vasa. Mathura Vasa. Then the next is Murtaya Sevaya. Here in Radhadesh you have a wonderful opportunity for this. You can see the most beautiful form of the Lord every day. Rupa Goswami says, my dear friend, if you still have any desire to enjoy the company of your friends within this material world, then don't look upon the form of Krishna who's standing on the bank of Keshigata. He is known as Govinda. And his eyes are very enchanting. He's playing upon his flute, and on his head there is a peak of feather, and his whole body is illuminated by the moonlight in the sky. So if you become attached really to the deity and to the form of the deity by looking every day at him, you will lose your attachment to material society. That is the solution for this. Finally, we move to his seva. These are five, isn't it? Sarusanga, Nama Kirta, Bhagavat Smaran. That we, I forgot to write down. You can, it belongs here really. Bhagavat Smaran, that is to read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, to remember it. That comes there. These are the five most important activities which are favorable to developing Krishna consciousness. Now, the next point which I want to make is Sangha Tyaga, giving up the association of non-devotees. That is described to be very favorable. But before coming to this, I would like to ask you if you have any questions or any realizations I might propose, which you would like to say.
Mm-hmm. We shall find coin that we should follow in the footsteps of fellow acharyas. How do you understand it?
Well, it is described, if you follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas, you will become very strong and very determined. An example is given. Of Haridas Thakur. Let me first ask you, do you sometimes experience when you chant the holy name that you're not so determined to be attentive, you're not so fixed on it? I think, yeah. Do you sometimes feel not so satisfied when you're chanting spiritually? It is described that we should hear, therefore, about the life of Thakur Haridas, a great devotee of the Lord, who was chanting even in difficult times. The Muslims tortured him. They wanted to kill him, actually. And do you know what he said? Even if my body is cut into pieces and I lose my life, I will never give up chanting the Lord's holy name. O Krishna, please be merciful upon these poor souls. Kindly excuse them for their offense of torturing me. If you remember the whole Leela, how Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya, the great Acharya, was so determined to continue his chanting even when he was tortured. Your own determination becomes stronger. I remember when I heard it the first time, I went immediately after the lecture and didn't eat breakfast for some. So determined to finish my 16 rounds. Every year, Namacharya Haridas Thakur did 192 rounds every day. 192 rounds. I mean, you may feel like a poor man in relationship to a millionaire when you hear this number. It's just beyond you. I would recommend all of you to one day try to chant as many rounds as you can. Like, make a plan, get up, maybe already earlier than you usually get up, and then chant from morning to evening. See how you feel. It's not easy. Can only do this if you have a taste. So, if you hear about Haridas Thakur, then determination, also courage is created. So if you hear about the lives of other acharyas, you will definitely feel something, some inspiration in your heart, and that will help you. Therefore, following the footsteps means to hear, and to imbibe the instructions and follow them in one's life. Yes. Very nice question. Yes, any other? Another?
Yes, one very nice soul that I had in Vrindavan was which helped me in my struggle was because with every moment we come closer to Krishna.
Oh yeah.
This is really easy.
Wonderful, yes. Yes, that was a very nice inspiration. Coming closer with every round actually to Krishna.
Makes it effective.
Good. Then I will come to the concluding part, more or less. Sangha Tyaga. Now, we will discuss, this will be very interesting. Sangha Tyaga. Who can tell me what this is? Yeah. Giving up bad association, someone said.
Under
the association, damaging association. Yeah. Yeah. This is a very good point. If it would only mean giving up bad association, then Rupa Goswami would have made the fault of repetition. Because remember, in the things which were unfavorable to devotional service, there was the association with non-devotees. So, this Sangha Tyaga means two things, association, but also the result of association. Sangha means association. And that attachment. Now, there are two types of attachments which we have. Biased thoughts, material assets, material opinion, material things. For instance, you may be attached to your clothing or your wristwatch or house, just material things. I think it is so clear that we will not really talk about material assets and how it's important to give them up. We had this already, you know, in the first point, Adhyahara, over-collecting, we described the disadvantage to be attached to material things. But there is another very subtle point about attachment, and now all of you will blush, as I have done. It is, in Sanskrit, svabhava. Who of you can tell me what svabhava is?
Nature,
yes. What type of nature? Is it our spiritual nature? Own, yes. Own mood. Is you could translate it like own mood. Own mood. Is it, it means our material nature or our foreign nature, or you could also say our adopted nature. Now this svabhava comes together. You know, like when we say, that's my nature. Or Prabhupada, don't eat too much. No, that's my nature. Or Prabhupada, don't always criticize me. No, that's my nature. You know, this type of nature, you mean. Now there are two types of these. But first of all, let me describe how it comes together, our nature. Yeah, this is now a little psychology for you. Sans, they come together by sanskara. Sanskara, yes. A sanskara is an impression which you have. Impressions from previous lives. Previous lives. Like I'm very, very often as preachers, we know people sometimes are have an inexplainable hang-up with something. Maybe they object to the authority of the Vedas, or maybe. People have some character trait, like they're very dominant, maybe, or they have certain negative aspects in their personalities. These come very often from sanskaras which were made in the previous lives, impressions. But since many, many lives, these sanskaras may be there and haunt a person and form him. And therefore he is or she is the way he or she is. All of you have such impressions. All of us have been formed by these impressions. All of us have been hurt by such impressions. I have an explanation by Srila Baladev Vidyabhushana, who says, the primordial material desire that is active since time immemorial is called one's nature. Please listen again, this is a sentence one must really concentrate on in order to understand it. The primordial material desire, not just I want a piece of cloth or I want a new pen or whatever, but the deep yearning for the material side, this deep desire that is active since time immemorial is called one's nature. Due to such a desire, the living entity is supplied with material bodies and other paraphernalia. False identification with the body causes one to act and causes others to act, although this is not the pure soul's real constitutional nature. The nature is described, our nature is like a compilation of these material desires which have been with us for a long time and which force us to act in a material way. All the conditioned souls are driven by this. And these impressions come from previous lives. And there are also impressions from modern, which are more recent, modern. In modern psychology, they try to deal with this, you know, oh, when you were young, how was your father to you? Maybe he said, you are a useless person, a good for nothing, and now you have a minority complex. You know this type of... there's truth in it. There's certainly truth in it. And what modern psychology doesn't know is that here are sometimes much stronger driving or equally strong driving forces. By addressing only the one, they may not go really deep enough to help a person in a significant way. So, since time immemorial, we are bound up by this, you call it also conditional nature. And if we remain attached to this, when we come to Krishna consciousness, this remains very difficult. I must tell you, confess to you something to make it, to illustrate it, and I feel most comfortable really to not speak aggressively about this, about things which may be your own situation. I would prefer to do it a little bit, you know, to spare you from this critical thing. You have to apply it. If you want to take on this glass of knowledge, then you have to put it and look deep into your own soul. But for myself, I can say I was had great difficulties with authority. In Germany, there was something like the anti-authoritarian movement, where we proclaimed that all authority is wrong because it stifles your own creative thinking, and everything was anti-authoritarian at that time. We revolted against everything and everyone, parents, school systems, the politics, and so on and so forth. And I had difficulties with everyone who forced himself to be an authority over me. I remember scenes where I would be with a stick before my teacher and just say, "If you don't stop now, you will stop forever." This really a hang up of being maybe so much hurt with authority, for being abused by authority, wrong authority, and so on. But I remember my first visit to the Hamburg temple almost ended all my visits, because first of all, the devotee who spoke had a very authoritarian tone in his speech. Then I recognized the Vyasa-san of Srila Prabhupada and his picture on this Vyasa-san. So it didn't take me 1 second to conclude he's someone special, and he gets a seat. He is the authority of these other devotees. And immediately I felt that nature, conditioned nature, revolving violently in me, and I wanted to say something or voice my dissatisfaction with this. And now, say, if a devotee remains attached, he's speaking about Sangha, association, and what comes out of it, the attachment to the thing. You remain associated with someone or a concept only if you have some attachment, otherwise you will say goodbye. If you remain attached to this Svabhava, this foreign nature, so to say, I don't make it clear because it's such an important point, foreign nature. It is extremely difficult to advance in Krishna consciousness. It is, in fact, impossible. The example has been given of the cow who stood in the barn, or was a bull actually, a bull who stood in the barn, and a fire broke loose, which devoured the whole barn. It was a red glowing fire. So this made certainly a sanskara, an impression in the heart of the bull. And from that day on, he becomes wild and aggressive when he sees the red color. It's nothing to, I mean, you shouldn't become wild when you see a red piece of cloth, it's harmless. But he has been so much conditioned by this bad experience, which has left such a deep impression within him, that he cannot but act aggressively when he sees red. This we often have, we say even in our language, I do not know if you say it in English, but in German language you say, this is for me a red cloth. Have you this also in English language?
Mm-hmm.
This is for me a red cloth, you know. What happens is that certain things come before us, and by association, that is now not this type of association, but we associate this color, for instance, with an experience. I think we all still have our red cloths, you know, when we see someone, something in Krishna consciousness, and we react by association and conclude something. In preaching, it's many preachers know they have to make it clear to the audience or the people they preach to. No, it's not like you think it is. You think of it, you misunderstand, because you look at it from your own experiences in this world. For instance, we say Krishna's pastimes to the gopis are not lusty pastimes. It's not like you think. It's a total, lust and love is something totally different. And we often have to deal with this. Now, what is about our own samskaras or our own svabhava? The best way to deal with this, a philosophical way to deal with this, is to understand really that there is a conditional nature. Do you understand this word?
Conditional.
And a constitutional nature.
Constitutional.
Constitution refers to the soul. Conditioned refers to body and mind.
Body and mind.
So please try to increase the constitutional activities. More service, chanting, prasadam, association with Vaishnavas. More soul activities. Then you will overcome the conditional activities. Just increase those. And be ready to sometimes say no to the mind. In the book Bhaktyalokya, this is a book from which I'm taking many of these concepts which are presented. In this book, the Svabhava is translated in a very interesting way. It is translated to be prejudice. Convinced that you found the right word. And he said, no, this means svabhava, not one's own real nature. The living entity is forced to accept this false second nature due to being conditioned by Maya since time immemorial. It's also called ancient prejudice or samskara. Do you know how difficult it is to deal with someone who has a prejudice? Prototype. You can't really help that person. For instance, if the prejudice is that this is really an invention of some human beings, this whole Krishna consciousness. You can't really argue or help such a person if this prejudice is there. So in the same way, it how would you preach to someone who thinks all devotees are crazy? What would you do? Say, I'm not crazy? It doesn't work. So this prejudice is there. It's very, very difficult to talk to someone and give them a new concept, because everything he will see through the filter. Like in Jayadvaita Maharaj's class, you remember, there was the Mayavadi prejudice or Mayavadi filter. She's a doctor of Sanskrit, reads the Gita, and for everything personal becomes impersonal in the perception. So if you, now what will you do with yourself if you have a prejudice? Very difficult. You must give this up. Sangha Tyaga. I know that this is a very deep point, and when someone sees this, looks like the scribbling of a mentally deranged person. I have to do it from here, not from my natural position, my original writing position. So, Hare Krishna. Now, did you have any realizations about this? We have still a quarter of an hour, and I will maybe have a quick brainstorm for a few minutes, and then we will have the last point, which is really easy.
How much can understanding the psychology help us? Can it help us understand the psychology, that to be aware of being samskara, for example?
Oh, that's a very difficult question. How can psychology help us to understand the soul? The question would have to be given back. What do you understand to be psychology? There are many models in psychology, and they have often assumptions which are totally materialistic. For instance, Freud used to think that everything a person does is motivated by just very low drives and instincts. It can be reduced to it. I could tell you a very interesting story. And then there's a humanistic psychology, then there's a dualistic, then there's a monistic one. I really think this is another seminar. I'm in fact preparing this. It is interesting. I would say you have to know what it is, what is coming, then you know what you swallow. Yeah.
This must be like a very deep attachment, right?
Yes.
Attachment to the mind.
Yeah, come on, this is how I am. This is how I am. Do you want to deny me my existence? That's me. Accept, can you accept me or can you not accept me? You know, this is how we react. And it is not me. It's false identification. You and Maya, Prabhu. That's not you. It's your svabhava. Your foreign nature.
No.
Yes, yes, Manji, yes.
But also, how we know honest to ourselves where we're at. So, devotees, where you could say, well, this is me, this is where I'm at, or this is, I'm just like this, this is my constitution, or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're told to try and self-tell that to Krishna consciousness, not that you just.
Yes, not just to overgo it, so to say, pretend it's not there, then some other problem starts. You bury these things, put them in the grave, you know, deep down, he won't go, but one more pressure, finally, he comes out again. very ugly way, isn't it? We know this. And he's so powerful now, you can't get him down again. Therefore, engage your conditioned nature in constitutional activities and you will be purified.
Can you say Svabhava is a conception of life that we acquire the human form through knowledge, through culture,
Yes, you can say it is a different sort of life which you acquire. You can say so. That is a very good way to say it. Through culture, there are many conditionings. I mean, if you want to go into conditionings, you have to really list many culture, upbringing, you know, many. Yes, please.
I'm just wondering, in this context, how to understand the Bible in the verse that given the man of knowledge in God's intention?
This is in the chapter of the. It says, even a man of knowledge acts according to his nature. There also it is the svabhava, the conditioned nature. Knowledge alone is not enough. Isn't it that sometimes we know we shouldn't act like this? But we do it anyway! knowledge is really not alone. You need to have some higher taste, higher. You need to be purified. That's why service is so important for us. So that we make this transition, go from the constitutional to the conditioned to the constitutional. You may still look, a body and mind may still look similar when it's engaged in devotional service. Bharatipitya Bhushana says, it's just like a piece of paper which is thrown in the fire. It still retains that structure. You know, I could make a paper ball and put it into the fire. But the substance of it is different. It's ash now. So in the same way, a devotee may still have eyes which do not look very good. He needs glasses. A devotee may still have certain characteristics also in his mind. He may be a little temperamental or whatever. But if he is engaged in Krishna service, then the substance of this conditioned nature is, we say it, it's spiritualized, isn't it? Something has changed. The example is the iron rod in the fire, really. It's still a rod, but it's also fire. Oh, Krishna. Now we have 7 more minutes, my dear devotees. We've almost made it. We come now to the last. Please stay with me. the last is called Sadhu. Who knows what is Sadhu? That's so easy, yeah. Variti. Variti means following. Following the sadhu, or as it is explained, following the footsteps of the previous acharyas. It is described that you cannot enter the spiritual world by your logical thoughts, by your arguments. You cannot reach there. You have to take another vehicle. To give you a simple example, you can't attain India by running or by going there or by bicycling. It's possible in theory, isn't it? Many do. Chakravarti, our Chakravarti in Germany made it. Yeah. But you can't go to the moon with a bicycle. Even if you're going to bicycle, man. Yeah, it doesn't work. So in the same way, you can't reach the spiritual world by your own intelligence. It doesn't work. You have to follow the footsteps, the path of the sadhus. Now, in order to walk on the path. And this really is like, I will come to a summary of my seminar. It's, you have to maybe make a few arrangements in your life so that you can... so that you can situate yourself properly. If you would try to follow, I think this was mentioned a few times, sadhus who move so fast, who move so spiritually advanced, we would maybe enter the nervous breakdown. Could imagine if any one of us tries to follow the schedule of Jayaprataka Maharaj, he would become a patient very soon. So we must do it in a realistic way. I think I speak what many of you have in your minds when you hear this point. Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a very nice comment. He says one must make the gross and subtle bodies favorable for devotional service. There is a need for some arrangement in order to attain a favorable condition in those bodies. But you must eat the right food, sleep enough, and so on. First, in order to maintain the gross body, he gets really in the detail. First, in order to maintain the gross body, there is a need to accumulate a house, household items, grains, and drinks. For the prosperity of the subtle body, one needs proper knowledge and proper occupation. In order to make the bodies completely favorable for devotional service, there is a need to situate them above the modes of nature. So, in other words, you must make some arrangements in your life so that you can be satisfied. In the very basic term of life. If you live, for instance, always with someone whom you actually don't like, or let us give a very simple example. If your roommate is a professional snorer, then you can say, no, he's not the body, and I'm not the body, and you can stay in the room for the whole night, but in the morning you will have sleep deprivation. A very clear example. We must be realistic. Now we have to translate this very simple example into other aspects of our lives. Many times you preach to devotees high philosophy, but what they really need is a good tip like, why don't you go to bed now? Many times, please, we are preachers since many, many years. Many times you just, have you eaten enough? No, I'm so hungry. Just eat, then we can speak more. Oh, Maharaj, thank you. This problem is no longer existent. I see it, I can solve it myself. Many, 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 many times. But you know, Thakur makes this point here, Sadhu Vritti. If you want to follow and get into the spiritual life, situate yourself. I know I'm preaching sometimes to devotees who are wanting to marry, but they are not sure, should I not? As long as this question is not solved, they cannot perform nicely in devotional service. I've seen it with my own eyes. You have to just close both of your eyes and wait until they have situated themselves, and then their service starts again in a nice way, as usual. Yeah. Then I want to end it with just one little last recommendation. What strikes you as a Vaishnava? What quality do you like in the Vaishnava, or let us say, what is one of the basic qualities of a Vaishnava? I want to give you a tip. In the first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described for whom this message of the Bhagavatam is. And a certain qualification is given. Yes?
Free from envy.
Paramo nimatsaranam satam. Nimatsara is no enviousness. Vaishnavas, you will find, you know, the saints, they are of a totally non-envious nature, accommodating and encouraging to one and all. It is described, the heart of a Brahmana is by nature very clean. Therefore, it is a proper place for Krishna to sit. Now, this was spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was extremely envious of Vaishnava, even of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His father served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, father-in-law served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a whole feast. Amoga came in and said, this sannyasi is very renounced today. You know, making such a sarcastic commentary. Oh, you eat so much, are you a renunciate? He said, you know. So after that, he became very ill because he made that offense. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was actually dying, it is described. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to him and said, the heart of a Brahmana is by nature very clean, therefore it is a proper place for Krishna to sit. One must give up envy. Now then he said, why have you allowed jealousy? Jealousy is enviousness also. To sit here in that heart. Because of this you have become like a chandala, the lowest of men, and you have also contaminated a most pure place, your heart. A Vaishnava is someone who has no enviousness in the heart, and to follow in the footsteps of a Vaishnava means to clean the heart of that enviousness. Then that envy, which is a natural problem of a conditioned soul, because we have become envious of Krishna and now we are envious towards others, if this enviousness is removed, then Krishna will sit in the heart. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, this point is made very, very succinctly. It is said that there are six types of enviousness against Vaishnavas. To kill a Vaishnava. To slander him. This is the blessing. To be a malice against him. Malice, I don't like you. You have this bad quality. To fail to welcome him. The Vaishnava comes and just ignores him. What's he say? Dobro doshli. Welcome. Please come. Do you have you eaten sufficient amount of prasadam today? Please take. Welcome. And to fail to welcome him or please him, to display anger towards him, and to not feel pleasure upon seeing him. These six are the causes of fall down. Let me repeat it again because it is very helpful. To kill a Vaishnava, sorry, this is not how to say it, it's very helpful to know about this. To kill a Vaishnava, to slander him, to be a malice against him, to fail to welcome him or please him, to display anger toward him, and to not feel pleasure upon seeing him. These six are the causes of fall down. So, to follow a Vaishnava means, or follow Vaishnava, sadhu vritti, means really, many things. But this is a very interesting point to notice. If we can become free of enviousness, in the heart, Krishna will sit there. I will end my seminar here. There are many more things I would like to say, about 10 more points, but this is not possible, and I feel also the seminar covered many of them in different ways. I want to personally thank all of you very much. It has been an enlivening experience for me, because I felt that you were taking interest in the subject and following some of the thoughts which were presented. If you do feel the need to deepen this seminar, I would recommend you to read two books, the Upadishamrita of Srila Rupa Goswami, translated and commented by Srila Prabhupada, and then you could also read the book from which I was often quoting. It is called Bhaktya Loka. Bhaktya Lokya. It is 12 essays of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur written on this subject matter of these two verses. But I guess my real recommendation will be, if I can give you something with me on the path after the seminar, it is a simple advice. See, we have as human beings a short-term memory. That is, we hear something and we keep it for a certain time and then we forget it. For instance, the class this morning, you will have a few things maybe still in the memory, but they also will be lost over the time, because the short-term memory can only hold information for a limited amount of time. Often we have been in seminars, often we have been in lectures, often we have read, but it has not really helped us on the long run. Do you have this experience?
Yes.
So here's a short term memory. And now the question really is, in education in general, is how to bring the information it has to leak out, you know, like rainwater fall out, because you need more to function. You need this empty, this speicher, this storehouse of information. You have to, tomorrow you listen to another lecture most probably, and new information are coming in. So it empties out, but you must close this here so that you don't lose everything. And just open a little opening here. No, that's not so clever. Anyway, this is only not perfect. You must bring it in here, where you can store many things. And this only happens usually in school. They do tests because you have to remember and bring it. And by this process, you bring it in here. But I am personally afraid of tests. This is one of my sanskaras, my impressions. I always try to avoid them and not burden anyone with them either. But there is something very nice which you can do to put all this information into your memory and into your life. And that is, you simply write down here the 6 points which were favorable. You make a card. You like 6 things which were unfavorable, actually. This is how we started. Just write them down as you have written them here, or as you can find them in the Nectar of Instruction. And here, of course, the favorable things. And from time to time, maybe before the evening, look at this card. And then when you come into a situation, for instance, where someone does an intense form of Prajalpa with you and invites you to enter the kingdom of Prajalpa, you remember, oh, there was something in Prajalpa. What Prajalpa? What was it? You should look at my notes again. There was something that is not good. I remember. And then you go into the different, there were these different forms of talk. And maybe he wants to talk, that's nice. Maybe we should not engage in prajalpa, but we get to the vada, we go to conclusive truth and talk about this. So you can apply it like this. And in this way, make the seminar something like a friend which accompanies you and helps you to get through your stormy days in devotional service and reach the nectarian ocean of Krishna, Krishna Prema, Krishna consciousness throughout your lives. This, I feel, is something very helpful. Many devotees have done so with great successes in their lives. Great things begin to happen if you act according to spiritual knowledge, in you and in others also. So once again, thank you very, very much for being such a wonderful audience and being so encouraging and for giving me my, you know, English is not my mother tongue, not leaving me standing all alone. All the best for you. May you be benefited by this seminar, by this point. In advance of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitya Govinda ki jai. Vanchakara Patanu Vaishnava ki jai. Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Vaishnava ki jai.